We are now live.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a LTD Board of Directors regular meeting. I will go ahead and call this meeting to order. Thank you for everyone in attendance. And we'll start with the roll call. So just to make sure, I'm just going to do a visual roll call. I'm going to acknowledge that Kate Reed is here. Josh Scove is here. I do not see Don Norden. Hopefully he will join us soon. And Caitlin Vargas is here, Stephen Yet is here, and I see also see Emily Secord as well. So welcome everybody, thank you very much for being here. Want to make some quick, or hopefully quick comments as the board president. I want to address how items should get onto our agenda. So we've had an informal process in the past, and while it is possible for members to add items at the beginning of each board meeting, I encourage you to use that only as a last resort, as meetings are carefully planned to last a prescribed amount of time and are prepared for in advance. So last minute items, unless they're truly urgent, make for unnecessarily longer meetings and does not give staff time to prepare information for us. And perhaps most importantly, it does not give the public much notice as to what we would be discussing. The other thing I want to say is I hope we don't forget that we are still in the midst of a public health crisis and that we have a shared understanding from a previous meeting to push back projects and other non-timely concerns to a later date. With that thought in mind, if you would like to add an item to the agenda, so the options would be as follows. So the first one would be, and this is what we've always done before, send the proposed agenda item to the president, which in this case me. The president will decide how and when the item will appear on a future agenda. And then the second option is the in-meeting request that the item can be added. And what I'd like to do is that I'd like to have the board vote on whether we discuss, whether to discuss it at the end of the planned agenda or possibly at a future meeting. So what would happen is you would ask to add something to the end of the meeting. By the time we get to the end of the meeting, then we would vote on whether we actually need to discuss it now or a later time. And so thank you for your attention on that. I hope this lays a good foundation for new ideas and discussion. And with that, I will ask AJ, do you have any comments as general manager?
Yes. It's a little bit related to the presentation that we get weekly for ridership. So Tom, as usual, will present. But I do want to say that we all know we're in phase one of the pandemic. For LTD, not a lot has changed. We're still boarding through the rear doors. We're still doing not collecting fares, still requiring social distancing. And, wearing masks. So we're still doing all of those. I want to just say that the governor's office, in a presentation I received this morning at the Springfield Chamber, they talked about the concern that even in phase one, people are starting to relax and not think they're in that. Later, you will hear a little bit more about that. But what I wanted to just state is the fact that we're still really focused on that. We have not returned our admin staff to the building yet. And during phase one, we will continue to work remotely. If we are successful in moving to phase two, we will be working with our employees and our management team to figure out how to stagger that and make that successful. But I just wanted to provide the board kind of that update. And for any members of the public that are listening, that they know that although we're in phase one, we're still taking a lot of steps. And later on during the presentation, usually Mark provides input. I'm sure he'll provide some input as to some of the work that he and the team are doing as we move forward as well. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you very much, AJ. And thanks for all the work that you're doing with all of that and as well as your staff. And we look forward to more information at the next part of the meeting. Next, are there any announcements and additions to the agenda? Go ahead, Josh.
Thank you, Carl. And I just want to say I appreciate your sort of opening comment. I don't like suggest this lightly. If I didn't believe it was time sensitive, I wouldn't do it. But I would like to suggest just a 10-minute agenda item on shared micromobility, its relationship to transit, and our possible role in new local options. for some part of today's agenda. I don't know if you want to discuss it or adopt it, or if you want me to make a motion to include it, whatever works best for you.
Oh, well, we'll add it, we'll tack that onto the end, and we will discuss whether we need to discuss it at that time. So thanks,
Okay, that sounds great. And the only other thing I will say, I would like to add it as something with a requested action, but if we get to it, we'll talk about it then.
Great. Any other additions or announcements to the agenda? Yes, Emily, go ahead.
Carl, I had a couple agenda items that I sent via email, so I don't want to belabor those, but just want to mention maybe the most, maybe pressing two of what are we doing about committee meetings reconvening? How we're doing on our working agenda. So I don't know if that we need to talk about those tonight, but just want to make sure that they're on the radar for a future conversation.
Sure thing. I think we can add that to the possibilities at the end of the meeting too. So thanks, Emily. Anybody else? All right, then with that, let's move on to board calendar. AJ, are there things upcoming that you would like us to know about?
There is nothing of urgent, given that we're temporarily suspending all committees, like MPC, LANAC, they're still meeting, but I think you guys know of that. So there's no matters to report today.
Thanks, AJ. I think I just asked out of reflex because I'm reading the agenda.
Yeah.
Is there a public health crisis going on right now? I have no idea. Next we have the employee of the month. We haven't done this in a while. We're postponing it.
So, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I got excited. I forgot. I don't know why I didn't notice it the first time I read through. Okay, so next we have the time for audience participation. And I'd like to read a little bit from, it's on the agenda, but I'll go ahead and read it out again. So this is the part of the agenda that is reserved for members of the public to address the board on any issue. Please note the following instructions. So first, to indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button. And if you're using Zoom, go to your participants icon on the bottom of the screen, and that should get you access to that. If you're calling from a phone, just press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. And for those of you who have just joined us, so again, you can, if you are on Zoom, please use the raise your hand button. And if you're on the phone, please use the *9, press *9 on your phone, and that will raise your hand. So when it is your time to speak, your name will be called. For those attending via phone only, the last four digits of your phone number will be called. When you're called, please state your name, city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. Once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please do not raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is provided. So for those who are unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@ltd.org. And that email address again is clerk, C-L-E-R-K, at ltd.org. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per person. A timer will be displayed on the screen and will beep when the 3 minutes are up. And just so everyone knows, there is no warning signal. So there's no 10-second warning. There's no 30-second warning. When it beeps, you're done. But the benefit is, at least for the people using Zoom, you can see the timer so you know exactly how much time you have. Okay. And so with that, Camille, who do we have on the list?
We have, and I apologize ahead of time if I mispronounce his name, Josh Kaczynski.
Very good. Thank you very much.
So go Mr. ahead Kaczyns- and start speaking.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Kaczynski.
My name is Josh Kaczynski. I am a resident of Eugene. I'm the active transportation coordinator at the University of Oregon, and I'm also a member of Eugene's active transportation committee. But tonight I'm speaking on my own behalf. I want to express thanks to the board and LTD staff for all the wonderful and extremely hard work you have done during the COVID-19 crisis. I know there is a difficult road ahead and there will be few easy decisions in front of you. Last week, I learned that as part of the staff cuts, LTD is shutting down the point-to-point program. I am sure that decision was not made lightly. There is a huge need in the community for services that point-to-point provides, as most organizations cannot afford to have a person on staff to support transportation options. I know that there are programs and staff at the City of Eugene and elsewhere who can help cover some of the services previously provided by Point to Point. However, the need for transportation options does not end at the city limits. LTD occupies a unique place in the community, and no other organization will be able to reach people in the same way. I hope as you continue to respond to this crisis, you keep in mind that LTD cannot succeed only by providing and marketing fixed route transit. Thank you again for the hard work and consideration you have put in during the past 2 months.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kaczynski, for taking the time to give testimony to our board. Camille, do we have another person who would like to speak?
I'm not showing anyone else at this time.
Great. Well, thank you. I'll just give us a couple more seconds to make sure no one else is raising their hand. And we'll go ahead and move forward then. Thank you very much to the public and for being here and for making your testimony today. So next we have board member reports. Were there any reports that people would like to make that were in addition to what's already printed?
I do just want to say one thing. So as far as committee meetings are concerned, OMPOC, which I might butcher the acronym, I'm not even going to try. It's the consortium of all the MPOs and MPCs, is meeting on June 1st, which is the regularly scheduled meeting date for that. But it will only be a 2-hour meeting, and it will be, I think, on GoToMeeting. So just want to put that out there. If anybody's interested in listening in, I believe there are public meetings as well.
Thanks, Kate. And
I will be attending as one of the two people from our MPC that attends.
Awesome. Thank you very much for doing that. Any other updates from other board members in addition? And just noting, Don Norden is with us now. I see Don. Oh, Josh, did you want to say something?
Yes, sir. I'm a little disoriented. My neighbor's dog just wandered into our house. I was just going to ask Kate, the times we live in. Kate, do you want to just say a little bit about how we might reconvene the sustainability committee around goal setting? I'll defer to you, but we had chatted about it, and I wanted to make sure we didn't completely leave it off.
I don't believe that there's another sustainability committee meeting that needs to happen. I think it's basically knowing that Kelly and Mark are prepared to go through with the statement that we already kind of wordsmithed. And so that, as far as I know, hasn't happened quite yet due to the rest of the things that are going on. But I would imagine next month or the month after, we will be able to make a statement. I don't think the sustainability committee needs to reconvene because I don't believe that our intended statement has changed due to what COVID has done to anything. Does that make sense?
That's great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. It looks like Don, do you have something you'd like to add?
Well, I was just going to report from the Lane Act that we just recommended that same thing that the LTD board before for furthering the production of the Franklin Avenue contract, and then also one for Coos Bay, but basically the one that is reference to the metro area is that one, which we did last week. I just reaffirming that.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Don. Great. Sounds like we got all our reports in there. So next we have the consent calendar. And I will entertain a motion for that.
Actually, just Carl,
yes.
Sorry, just before there's a motion, I just want people to know that the contract review committee, formerly the finance committee, met and reviewed these contracts. And had that serious discussion about them. So just as a reminder to people that happened.
Of course, thanks. It's on page 7 of the packet, if that helps anyone.
Uh, Okay, this is Kate Reed. I'll go ahead and move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-05-20-025. It is hereby resolved that the consent calendar for May 20, 2020 is approved as presented.
Second.
Great, so it has been moved by Kate Reed, seconded by Josh Scove to approve the consent calendar as presented. Roll call vote, we'll start with Kate Reed.
Aye.
Josh Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
And Emily Secord.
Aye.
Excellent, motion passes unanimously. All right, moving on to the next item. Board expense report. So I think you can see that in the packet as well. So I will also entertain a motion for that one. And that might be the last one we're going to be doing for a while.
This is Emily. I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-05-20. And I just scrolled, sorry. 2020-05-20-029. It is hereby resolved that the LTD Board of Directors approves the travel expense reimbursement for board member Don Norden.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Second.
Josh Scove has seconded. So if motion was made by Emily Secord, seconded by Josh Scove. Don doesn't get to vote on this, so we'll go and start with Kate Reed.
Aye.
Joshua Scove?
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas?
Aye.
Stephen Yet? We'll come back to Stephen. Emily Secord?
Aye.
And, oh, you know what? I forgot to vote on the last one, I think. So Carl Ye votes yes, aye on the last one, aye on this one as well. And Stephen, back to you.
Aye.
Excellent. So motion passes unanimously. All right. Thank you for that one. And next we have the ridership and operations update. Tom, I believe you are up.
Yes. And well, I moved to sharing the screen. I'll just share a little trivia. So OMPOC is the Oregon MPO Consortium. So you had all the words there. And the trivia is that if anyone knows who Lisa Gardner is, that was her idea. She came up with that acronym, so now you know.
Isn't it different words for the letters MPO, MPC? The
MPO is the federal designation as a metropolitan planning organization, and our MPC is the policy body to the MPO. And I think we're the only one that has a Metropolitan Policy Committee. Everybody else has a different name for their committee, but I could go on, but I won't. So to start with, you're used to seeing this kind of report, but taking up Josh suggested, we have basically what we're going to do is a rolling 4 weeks and a couple days. So next week you'll see there'll only be green bars, because that represents the last 4 weeks of our service. As you can see, generally speaking, adding more service has increased our service slightly, but really there's, we're going to have to watch this for a while, because the reopening happened on the 15th, I believe. Was that the day? And really the service, I mean, the demand has gone up a little bit since the reopening, but not as much as the addition of frequency did back in late April. So we're going to watch that and see what happens. Some things to build on. I think AJ may have mentioned this. With the increase allowable for a number of people that can congregate, and the changes in social distancing, requirements, we are upping our management of our loads, and I'll get to that in the next set of slides, but appears to be working, so we'll see how that goes. So the other chart we typically look at is the after 8:30, and you can see again fairly stable ridership. There are some ups and downs. We were wondering why there was such a high Friday ridership in the evening, and we think it was just people saying it's Friday, I'm gonna get out, and it's reopened, but that didn't seem to carry on for the rest of the, we'll see for this Friday what happens. The other thing I would note up in this upper right hand corner, you know, things don't change a lot in this graph, but one of the things that you can see with the reopening and in the increase, where we were averaging about 8,500 trips, we're up to like 10,000. There is more, there's a bigger proportion of regular service ridership than there has been in the past, where, you know, MX was about 50, now it's probably about 45% or so. So that's on that chart. With respect to loads, here's what we have for the 40-foot buses. Again, what we see with the reopening is this increase in service, or I'm sorry, in boardings and in overloads based on 15 or more passengers. With the new the new guidance, we're looking at loads for 40-foot buses, loads over 20 people or more. And I've got a kind of blow up of this last few days here, just since that standard changed. But you can see this is the number of overloads we have right now. That would have been the barrier on Friday. And then on Saturdays, again, even before this, there's usually no load issues. This is Monday, represents, so we had 6 overloads here as opposed to, I think this is like 31 or 32. And you can see it's gone down appreciably. Let me go on to the blow up here.
Wait, Tom, yeah. Just a clarifying question. You're saying the red line is 20 and the bar is 15 occupants.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
When you limit it, yeah. And then this is just a blow up of that same chart. So you can see, you know, it's quite a difference in terms of the number of overloads. I'm not sure, I didn't mean to, oh, we had 5 trips that, but we didn't have any. Oh, that was 5 on Saturdays, but now there's 0 with the change. And then Monday and Tuesday here, you know, we had 25 there on Monday, 20 on Tuesday, from on the old standard, and under the new standard, we've got 4 each day. So we're looking at that, and I can talk a little bit about what we're seeing in terms of where those are happening. With the reopening in particular, we started to see some of these loads, some of these loads that we're seeing here are happening out along the system, but we're talking about a couple of trips here and there on some of the core routes. So looking then at our 60-foot bus loads, and again, this was, the old standard was over 20 and the new one is over 30. Again, a very similar pattern with respect to the number of overloads we're seeing. This is like 2, or I'm sorry, this was 3, 0, 2, and 4, basically. Trips that had more than 30. And I blew that up as well, so you could just see some of the detail on that. Very similar. Ride source. So I don't know if there's any questions on that before I go to the ride source data.
Yeah, it looks like Josh has a question. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, just a quick question. This is super helpful, Tom, because it does show that the vast majority of bus loads that exceeded our previous maximum didn't exceed it by much. So that's actually pretty reassuring. So that's nice to see that when it was over 15, it was usually not 20. And when it was over 20, it was only rarely over 30. I guess I would just say that, and we don't have to wrestle with this now, but I kind of want to put a pin in it. I do foresee, you know, I think we all foresee the possibility of another outbreak, of having to pull back from phase one. That's, you know, sort of announced as an explicit possibility by the governor's office for any county. And I would just want to, when I see that there were still a bundle of rides with more than 30 people on them, those are really, those are the treacherous conditions in which you get community transmission. And so I would just want us to know ahead of time what we're going to do about that. Because I know right now we're obviously not turning people away, and I'm not suggesting that we turn people away, but I would want us to have a really clear strategy either to avoid that or to deal with it when it happens.
Yeah, we are actually turning people away, Josh. We are actually, when operators get to those loads, they go drop off only. And so so there are times where they don't, but it's not very often. So so we are controlling it in that manner to the greatest extent possible. And
okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
To your point about you know, we'll respond always given advice from the health authority. And so, you know, if things start getting bad again and we need to, you know, reduce it again, we will. And so, you know, it's a fluid situation. We understand that and we'll respond in coordination with the health authority guidance. And so one of the things that that has been helpful and, you know, the more studying they do, the more helpful they're realizing it is the whole idea of face coverings. And when we instituted that, you know, quite a while ago, a few weeks ago, you know, that was very helpful. And so, and it's proven to be, so we don't anticipate ending that anytime soon, so.
Great, thank you, Mark.
Okay, so I will move on then to the ride source. This is the call volume, and again, this, reflects, I think, a little bit maybe related to reopening, but certainly reopening for non-essential trips. So the call volumes were up. And like we said last week, the ridership has gone up as well. And MTM has brought on additional staff to handle that. I believe, yeah, that's what I have tonight.
Oh, just to check, Tom, the graph that you have right now, the blue is the non, those would be, oh, I'm sorry, I got mixed up. I see now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Any questions for Tom? Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Tom.
You bet.
And just to check, that was all the updates that we have from staff today.
I can give you a couple more items of interest. One is that we will be adding back Sunday service with June 7th or 8th. So we're doing another operator bid. And so we're going to add back Sunday service at a regular Sunday service level. So we'll be running the current service, we're running 6 days a week, then a regular Sunday service on Sundays beginning whatever Sunday that is, June 8th, I think it is. So just for your information.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to hear. So next we have any responses or questions to the written reports in your packet, I think, which includes the monthly financial report, quarterly grant report, et cetera. Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and go to the last section of our agenda, which is to see if we need to add anything to the agenda. So Josh, I believe you wanted to bring something to the board's attention. So what we're gonna do is go ahead and explain what you'd like to do and then make a motion for that, and then we'll vote on that and we'll see if we need to discuss it now or at a future meeting. You're on mute, I think. You might be double muted.
Sorry. Motion for the agenda item. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I would, so I move that we tack on here a 10-minute agenda item on shared micromobility, its relationship to transit, and our possible role in new local options.
Could you explain more about what you're meaning by what you're trying to get, what you'd like the board to discuss?
Sure. I was trying to be brief.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Okay. So, yeah. So, as I sort of discussed very briefly in a previous meeting, and then also I sent out the City Lab article on e-scooters in particular, but all that I think is applicable to ESS bikes as well. I just want to make sure that we are starting to explore shared micromobility because of the inherent distancing advantages. It's not like transit, conventional transit in that regard. The possible affordability advantages, the potential equity strategies that could be implemented through it, and make sure that we're communicating with the City of Eugene on an upcoming RFP. I can say a little more about that, but that's the short version. And that last piece, the city's request for proposals that could go out next month, is the thing that makes it time sensitive. So that's the basic idea.
Oh, God. Thanks for that summary. So is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay.
So is it moved by Josh to add this the discussion about micromobility? And second,
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Caitlin.
Is this a discussion amongst board members, or are we asking LTD staff to present to us any progression they've made with this micromobility? Whom is talking, and that's what I'd like to clear up.
Sure. Carl, can I go?
Please do.
Responsible. Okay, thank you. Caitlin, my intent was that we would have a brief discussion about it, see if people had any kind of big overarching questions or concerns, hear from staff if they would like to offer anything, and then I had a very specific motion to direct the GM to communicate with the city, but I didn't want to do that before our having at least a little bit of discussion.
Great. Okay. Thanks. So it's been moved by Josh, seconded by Stephen. Any more discussion before we go to a vote? Okay, seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote. So, Kate Reed?
Aye.
Let's see. I'm going to use my screen. Don Norton?
Aye.
Josh Scove?
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas?
Aye.
Emily Secord?
Aye.
Stephen Yet?
Aye.
And Carl Ye, I vote aye as well. So, great. So that's been approved. Josh, go ahead and I guess go into more detail about what you'd like us to discuss.
Well, I could talk at exciting length about what is being tried in fancy cities like Milan and New York and Paris and London, or some of the examples of places that are more like us, like Portland, but also Seattle and Oakland are doing things on this front. But I kind of want to throw it open to questions if people have it. If people want me to talk about it, I'm happy to. But I just wanted to see if people had concerns about just coordinating with the city a little bit.
I see Kate's hand up. So Kate, and then Caitlin, is your hand up too? Okay, and Caitlin next.
Yeah, I'm just curious. What like, when would we know what the budgetary impact is? Because we're in the middle of a budget being available to the public for input, and then we'll have a hearing next week, I believe, on it, and then we're going to vote on it in June. And so that's my first question, and I don't think you can answer that. I mean, maybe you can answer it right now, but that would be really important, especially because of where we are right now and what we have to do as an agency to meet where we are right now. And then the second part would be the thoughts around the ramifications of COVID and using shared devices. I think that that's a really interesting concept, because shared means multiple touching and not, you know, like, who's in charge of cleaning and where do they find it? And if it's a scooter, where does it, I don't, for me, there's a lot of questions, and then comes the liability piece with how much we should be involved in that type of a thing. If we're, are we held liable if people, if we put our name on scooters, or since our name is somewhat on the Peace Health Bike Share, what happens when people contract the virus from using a shared device, or does everything go into quarantine for 2 days? And so those are questions that come up for me just right off the base. And then the other thing, I think that the city or the neighborhood had been talking about was the partnership with Arcimoto. And so just curious around if that's a part of it. And then also, like, who's in charge of making sure that those vehicles are clean and safe for people to use? Those are things I think about with my store. So I'm thinking about those specific things constantly.
Yeah, I really appreciate the questions, Kate. And obviously I have the same concerns as someone who has used the Peace Health Ride system a lot and found all sorts of things in the baskets, let me just say. You know, bags of, like, not quite finished bags of potato chips and things like that. So, like, one definitely has that concern. I would just say, I want to, the urgency here is that the city is going to release an RFP potentially as soon as the middle of next month, so just a few weeks away. And I want to make sure that we have a transit perspective represented in that, and that if this plays out and plays out safely and appropriately and so on, that it does in a way that is explicitly a complement to transit at this time when we know a lot of people are going to have all the concerns you just raised times 10 with riding in buses. And so that is really my hope. It's just that we get that coordination. To the budget point in particular, I am not suggesting that we, you know, put in a chunk of money for scooters or e-assist bikes or whatever into this budget. I'm not suggesting any budget changes right now. I mean, maybe that will look like a good idea farther down the road. Maybe it won't. But right now, it's really just that coordination and seat at the planning table that I want us to have. But I don't dismiss any of your concerns, and I'm walking around with those same concerns in my everyday life as well.
Are we not participating?
Yeah, I can offer some perspective on that. We're in discussions with the city on multiple projects, and micro-mobility is one of them. You know, they're kind of on their own on the RFP, and because they've got to create the rules and the laws and how they're going to operate in their city, because they're the ones that are responsible for, you know, the rules, laws, et cetera. And so, and that's what this pilot's about. And, you know, we've been in discussions, we'll continue discussing with them how we can play a role in that. But ultimately, you know, they make the rules around scooters, not LTD.
Thanks, Mark. Next we have Caitlin, and then I see Dawn next, and I will put myself on the list too. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I'm really sorry about the background noise, everyone. I have two questions. My first one was, since Jump does Peace Health Rides, can you just clear up for me the RFP? Is that Jump coming in as the provider and looking for that underwriter or partner like Peace Health was? Or is this an open RFP for, like, Spin or Jump or any companies to come in. Can you just educate me on that?
Well, I haven't seen a draft. I don't think one has been circulated very widely, but my guess, based on what other cities have done, is that it would be open to all comers, and they might select a discrete number, sometimes, you know, capped ahead of time at two or three different providers, but maybe even just one provider. But I think it's totally separate and kind of the same sort of separate contract. But again, I'm just guessing. I don't know if Mark can speak.
I was just curious, since they were already in our market and probably had some good data, if they were going to be the provider for that. And then my question for LTD staff is, because the scooters are in metropolitan areas that have concentrated downtowns that are destinations, like when I was in San Diego, people used the scooters to go from, you know, in the Gaslamp District and all the bars and restaurants and stuff. Because of Eugene's landscape, does it make sense to have scooters here from a transit perspective? And is that fair for us to compare ourselves to a Portland or a Seattle?
I can speak a little bit about that. So the interesting thing about whether it's the Peace Health Rides or the scooters, LTD doesn't have jurisdictional authority. We run the transit system, and scooters and bike share really is a local governing issue, and each city typically establishes their own rules because the cities own the sidewalks and all of the right-of-ways. So they establish ordinance and laws about how scooters can or cannot be used. They will establish if they will want one provider, multiple providers, and I believe they're trying to get an RFP out so they can do a pilot to figure out, number one, what rules should they impose if a company wants to come here to town or companies want to come here to town. So cities create all of these rules, and whether it's viable, it really is a private entity question. If it was not profitable or they didn't want to be in that space, they wouldn't come here. It would likely never be a situation in which LTD would buy scooters and manage scooters themselves, just like we wouldn't do the bikes. I think if the city and its private entity or entities wanted to come to town, and we had enough data to recommend that we be a player, like maybe do some collaborative fare offset for low income or LTD pass holders, we would recommend that to the board, provided the city gave us the data. So we would ask the city to give us that data, and then we would say, hey, we think we should subsidize that. But at this point, it really is the city who controls this, because they've got the jurisdictional authority. LTD cannot own these. So is it a good idea or not? It really is on a private entity. If they don't find that there's a market for it, they wouldn't even come, and we would have no way of controlling that. So there's not enough data to say one way or the other if it's good or not for our town at this point.
And scooters so far have not been profitable. And at some point they need to be subsidized if they're going to be part of a transportation infrastructure. So.
Great, thank you, AJ and Mark. Next we have Don, and then I have Kate. I'm gonna let Kate go first before me.
Okay, the concern I have in this issue is that moving ahead is stalled. Rob Enterfield spoke at the Lane Act meeting. I asked him specifically, he said, would they have done anything? And this is a particular place where I feel there was a hole in the moving ahead program, is we didn't have the interface for these micromobility things at the bus stop. We were building out the River Road station. We have Amazon Station, Willow Creek Station, Thurston, so on. There seems to be an opportunity to cooperate with the city of Eugene and with a private entity who would perhaps manage other kinds of transportation division. But this particular element isn't, you know, we're not discussing it as far as I know. There's no land use planning issue on it where the space is being purchased and held for micromobility opportunities. And when we come out of this thing, you know, I feel like the Moving Ahead project will be very important next year, maybe 2 years from now, but we should continue the planning effort and continue the cooperation with the city and get, well, now we're going to have a couple of new city councilors, so they're going to have to be educated. And then we have to work in, you know, communicating with the whole society, but we have a lot of investment in Moving Ahead and Transit Tomorrow, and I don't think we should drop it. We should continue the planning processes and the collaboration.
Thanks, Don. Kate, and then me.
Hi. Okay. So my question, I guess, is for Josh, since you brought this as an item for us to discuss. It sounds like the city is in charge. I can't see you, so I feel like I'm not making eye contact with you. There you are. Okay. I can see you. I can't hear you, Josh. You're muted.
Sorry. I have two screens. I'm not watching Netflix. I'm taking notes. Forge ahead.
Okay. So it sounds like the city's in charge and they're, I mean, we LTD wouldn't be financially investing in anything right now. And so, and it also sounds like from the comments from AJ and Mark that we are in the mix and we are talking and we are trying to give input. What else are you looking for with this motion or this discussion topic?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Carl, do you want to go first or should I take his question?
No, you may, please go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So the city, and I just want to clarify a couple things that have been said. So we're really clear. The city is actually going to be issuing an ordinance and changes to ordinance at the same time, roughly, that's putting out an RFP. And the RFP is going to be contingent on those things getting approved by city council. But there's, I think there's been a lot of work done to make sure that rules around scooters would be, you know, would be palatable for council. So I'm assuming that will move forward. So I agree with what's been said about the city setting up those rules. I don't really think this is about the rules. I think this is about the structure of the RFP being informed by transit perspectives and making sure that as that RFP goes out, it's really like it has transit in mind. I mean, if you think about where these things, I mean, to Caitlin's point, you know, these things are not, if scooters come to Eugene, they're not going to be uniformly distributed across the entire city of Eugene. They're going to be focused in certain areas, and then that's going to be disproportionately the university and downtown, kind of like the bike share system, probably. So with that in mind, given that that's where a disproportionate share of transit service is now happening, or at least a lot, you know, yeah, I will just say it that way. I would want us to make sure that we, you know, have a chance to just pitch in LTD perspectives on that. It is not about having control, but I think back to all the times that AJ and Tom and Mark had stressed the importance of intergovernmental relationships and of two-way communication about different planning processes. And so all I'm trying to do is here, before we get to the 11th hour on this RFP, make sure that we're just sort of saying, hey, you know, as I said, the motion I'll make at the end of this, just that we will, you know, ask AJ to send a letter to the city manager and city council saying LCD would like to be included in discussions around the RFP as it goes out. That's all. It's just to ensure that intergovernmental communication. I want to be clear, you guys, I'm not psyched about bringing this up when we're all busy with the stuff we're busy with right now. It's just that that timeline has been forced on us by the city's timeline, you know, which is fine. I mean, it's more relevant. So we'll get to it, but there is that urgency to make sure LTD has its own perspectives. I want to make sure those are represented.
Thanks, Josh. So what I want to say was actually I'm not sure I see the same urgency in this matter I really do feel the public expects us to focus on our current issues right now. And it's not that I don't think that micromobility isn't part of our business in the sense that, you know, could it be a solution for the future? And should we be a part of that? Absolutely. I think those are all appropriate. But I think right now, my expectation for staff is to, you know, be involved as appropriate. But we have a lot of things that I think we should be focused on, other things that we should be focused on right now. The city has to figure some of this stuff out first. And hopefully when they get farther along, we can be part of that if it's appropriate for us to be part of that. So those are my comments there. Yes, Emily, go ahead.
So I agree with you that we have, you know, a lot of priorities at LTD, but I really agree with Dawn as far as making sure that we're not losing sight of the bigger picture. And I think that when we're running large buses with minimal people on them, that's a budget issue. And if there's other ways that people can connect and engage in the community by first mile, last mile adjustments, by scooters or bikes or whatever is available, I think that really is a conversation that, you know, if it's timely and needs to happen, then, I mean, if we're already having this conversation, why not just make it official and sort of legitimize the process, I guess.
Great. Any other comments or discussion?
I just have a point of clarification.
Go ahead, AJ.
I do ask for clear direction of the board would like me to reach out to the city. I know we've reached out at this point. There's been no definite coordination on this RFP. I've heard comments about make sure the city has a transit perspective, that the RFP is informed by transit, and that LTD's perspective is addressed. So it would be helpful for me if this is something the board would like us to really press upon the city that we want to be heard. I would like to know if the board has a collective, what is that perspective? Like, what do you really want us to communicate? Because just a transit perspective, I don't think is sufficient. And there's no real rules around it at this point. So I want to make sure that we're clear about what our request is. Because even if they say, we'll let you review the RFP and I assign this to somebody probably in the planning team to review and provide input, I think their question is going to be to me, AJ, what do you want us to say? Like, what is critical versus just this broad? And I think that's where I want to make sure that if the city does allow us to do that, that they feel that we took, and especially if they delay because they're getting our input, that they don't feel we wasted their time, that there's a clear what is that collective LTD governing body perspective. So if you make a motion, if you would please include that, because what we want to do is we want to deliver that message and make sure that we work in the interest of the board on this project.
Oops, thanks, AJ. Stephen has his hand up, and then looks like Don after that.
Thanks, Carl, appreciate it. First, just keying off of what AJ said, I happen to agree with her 100%. Whatever we decide to do, we need to give AJ very clear guidelines so she's not wasting her time or staff time and we're not wasting the city's time. But prior to that, I just wanted to mention, I appreciate Josh bringing this up and I agree with the general topic and I agree with what Emily and Don said. It might be helpful, and I don't want to speak for Josh, but it just might be helpful for the board in general that we as the board get a brief description from AJ or the staff on what sort of discussions are happening, just a little thumbnail sketch, and so we're not left in the dark. Until this meeting here, I only had an inkling because I heard a couple whispers from other sources that these talks were going on. And I think this is an important issue, as Don mentioned, as Josh mentioned, and as Emily mentioned. So I, speaking for myself, would just like to know what's going on vis-a-vis our contact with the city of Eugene, or for that matter, when it happens, the city of Springfield, if it ever does. Thank you.
Carl, would you like me to kind of...
Yeah, go ahead, and then Don will go after that.
Okay. So just to respond, So what Mark and I have done, we reached out to the project team and asked them if they would brief us on the matter. And then also in other meetings, the planning, I think Tom and his team were in meetings in which Rob Innerfelt also mentioned the project. And we know we've talked kind of not very specific on this RFP, but much more about kind of the different options. A few of these scooter companies last summer wanted to come on board. So what we did is we kind of talked to the city and have told them that we have an interest in just participating in their process. We also talked to Springfield about it. Springfield doesn't have an interest in this at this time. And I think they're letting Eugene take the lead. So good question, Stephen. So there's been no specific discussion about the RFP except for Mark reached out to Matt Raymond. I reached out to Rob Innerfelt and told them that our board of directors had interest in it and we'd like to engage them in that. And then the conversation that we got from planning team about what they had heard. So, but there has been no direct contact from the city to us to say they would include us or share any RFP with us at this time.
Thanks. Don, you're next.
You're on mute,
Don, just so you know.
Okay. I'm concerned that we're in abeyance with the work with Transit Tomorrow. And yet, at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have to make, or the city of Eugene is going to have to make some land use decisions. And if they're not even planning, I guess AJ just talked to Rob, but that was about another thing. And I'm concerned that moving ahead is not moving ahead. And that we're not even, we have to make a decision by the board to decide whether we're going to do that. And that's going to be in several months hence. And I don't know, it just seems like this could be put out forever. And we have an opportunity right now to redesign everything because everything's thrown up in the air and it's a opportunity to not miss it. But if we have to, if we don't proceed with our plans that we had before and get everybody on board, then nothing will happen. So that's my concern.
So Tom, maybe it'd be helpful for you to explain all the planning processes that we're involved with the city on and where your staff is involved with the city and you know, just kind of give a brief overview.
Yeah, I was gonna, that's why I was tentatively raising my hand. But to start off with respect to Don, what you're talking about with respect to designing for alternative modes around, or I'm sorry, micro-mobility around bus stops. You know, part of the thing with moving ahead that, you know, the city would tell you is the case is that a lot of the bike and ped infrastructure and by extension, some of the micro-mobility, whether it's bike share or scooters or other things, have been developed by the city outside of this moving ahead process. I mean, you can look at what they're doing today with respect to bike infrastructure. You know, there's current projects going on. Those weren't part of moving ahead. They weren't contingent on moving ahead. They've been very active in this in the same way that they're actively reviewing the work that the city of Portland has done around red pavement for transit. They're excited about it. They want to bring it forward. None of that's been brought up in any detail in the moving ahead process. So I think part of it is, it's up to people other than me, but I mean, we could bring the city of Eugene staff in, and maybe they started SPC and talk about what they're doing because they're doing a lot in this space in terms of designing for and providing for these different forms of micromobility. So I would really ask the board to not overlap moving ahead process with that process. So that's the first thing. But with respect to the number of planning things that we're doing with the city of Eugene, in addition to moving ahead, and I will say, in all the years I've been doing this, this is probably the biggest partnership project that we've had with another local entity, and I think for everything that it's logical that it would be the largest city in the region, Eugene. But they're also, I feel like the way I would characterize it personally is that we're very much in sync with respect to how we're looking progressively at a multimodal system. I think I heard reference to, LTD just operating transit. I mean, that's not what we're about when we're doing these planning processes. We're very much looking at the role that transit plays. And I think transit tomorrow brings a certain clarity to that. So I think with respect to, so I come back to you, moving ahead is a big one, but just today we were coordinating through the MPO process around investments by both agencies that support what each other is trying to do. So there's a lot going on with respect to coordination. We spent a lot of time with city staff on this. We've got the River Road project is another one where that's actually tying into some of the community planning and land use planning that the city's doing along that corridor. And we brought our resources in to look at how the land use side in particular with the River Road TOD study can work together with the level of transit that we provide. So, there's a lot of other, maybe smaller things that we do, but that's just a broad overview.
Yeah, and I can give you one more too, and Robin brought this up in it because it directly ties into the micromobility thing, is that we are working, we have a working group with the U of O and the City of Eugene talking about mobile wallets and how do we create an integrated system for payment of fare or transferability to bikes, scooters, micromobility, buses. And so, we are planning for a long-term solution to have a seamless fare system and integrated payment system for all the modes, including parking or whatever. So, we're working with the city, the U of O, on multiple fronts to really, integrate all of our services. So.
Thanks. Okay, Kate, and then I'm going to add myself back to the list, and then we'll hopefully move on to something else. Go ahead, Kate.
So it sounds like we are engaged indeed in these conversations at some level, and that what AJ articulated would be helpful is if we had like a list of things that were important to us on a regular basis. And from this conversation, I've heard specifically first mile, last mile compatibility with transit. I've also heard equity. I've heard land use, but I don't know how that relates to scooters necessarily, except for what they're working on currently, the policies, ordinances. Are there other things that we could just kind of like list off and agree upon maybe as a board?
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, actually, Carl, you were in the queue. I mean, I'm trying to. Going to say something with the university. But go ahead.
Yeah, I thought you were going to answer, Kate. I mean, I actually appreciate what Kate's trying to do, but I have to tell you, I feel comfortable with what AJ and staff are already doing at this very nascent stage of this whole micro mobility scooter project. And I think staff should be focused on other things while we're going, because we're going to have many, many more months of COVID-19, and there's going to be lots of different kinds of things that that fall out from that. Micromobility will still be there at a later time. And I applaud everyone's thoughts, and I agree with them that yes, this could be part of something in the future. But one of the reasons we're pushing things to the back right now is because we're trying to deal with other things. So, AJ pointed out, this isn't our jurisdiction. Doesn't mean we should be silent on the issue necessarily, but the conversations are already happening. Oh, go ahead, Josh, sorry.
Thank you. Well, yes, and so just for what you said a moment ago, I'm going to try to bring us home. Let me make a quick summary and hope this sort of ties a few threads together, and then I'll make a motion. It'll be very exciting. We'll see what happens. So I'm not pitching scooters, I want to be clear. I am pitching explicit collaboration requested and supported by us, the governance body. I just wanted to draw that distinction. I'm not saying do this particular scooter system. I'm saying let's ask for this collaboration from the governance body. Our request will have more weight if it comes from the board, right? I mean, intergovernmental relations are messy and tricky and people are busy. As was said a moment ago, I am comfortable, like Carl, with what staff are doing. I'm just not content because I'm not confident that it will be sufficient, especially given the tight timeline. So I'm just saying, let's sort of pull it up a level and speak from board to city council and city manager. I also just want to remind people, we may feel great about fixed route service, but 70% of people didn't. And even in places that have had reopening, still 50 to 60% of people still don't. So there's real urgency. To Carl's point, I think this is incredibly urgent that we make sure that we have a seat at the table and that we are providing transit perspectives, because transit is not coming back exactly as it has been in the very near future. And almost by definition, then, it is urgent. It's maybe more relevant in the next six months or a year than it is a year or two from now. So with that, let me offer the following motion. I don't know that I captured all the bullet points. I couldn't type as fast as Kate was thinking and talking. I move that the board direct the general manager to send a letter to the city of Eugene requesting that LTD have a role in crafting the request for proposals related to electric scooters in order to contribute transit perspectives to the RFP, specifically, one, to ensure that first last mile opportunities are explored, and two, to ensure that complementarity with transit service around the university is addressed. That's the motion. Sorry, I should say period.
Thank you, Josh. So that's been moved. Is there a second? Don, was that a second? You can nod your head yes, and I'll take it.
Yes, I'll second.
Okay, moved by Josh, seconded by Don. Just making sure, any other discussion before we move to a vote?
The dogs are barking, not my feet, but the actual dogs. Was it the request? Oh my gosh, sorry. The request is, the motion is a request from the LTD board to ask the city to what?
You're on mute, Josh. Probably double muted.
Sorry, I was trying to speak over the dogs and I was muted. We asked AJ, the general manager, to send a letter to the city asking to work on the RFP. And then did you hear the 2 points, or should I say those again?
No, I heard the 2 points. I wasn't sure what we were saying to the city that we wanted to do. If we just wanted them to make sure that our perspective was considered, or if we wanted to directly be working on the RFP with them.
Have a role in crafting the RFP. That's all. I mean, I wasn't going to be more specific than that.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, and I see Emily. Go ahead, Emily.
So just really quickly, I wanted to ask, should we say electric scooters specifically, or should we say micro mobility just to cover more bases? And do we need to have something that goes further than the RFP? Or Josh, are you satisfied with just the RFP process?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, this is the thing that I think is urgent. I'm trying to keep it narrow and focused on the thing that we have to deal with in the short term. Longer term, you know, there are lots of e-assist bike, you know, shared bike systems out there. We'd want to talk about that too, but I was going to leave it at scooters for now because that's the urgent thing.
Yeah, I think I saw Don's hand. Did you want to say something else, Don?
Well, I was going to just kind of agree with Emily that we wouldn't want to narrow it to electric scooters because we're really talking about all kinds of micromobility processes.
And Don, let me be clear. I'm not saying that in the grand scheme of things we should narrow it. I'm just saying in the short term, there's this one very specific RFP. We're going to talk about this again. I mean, we're going to talk about micromobility again. I just want to make sure we don't miss this window that's closing.
Okay. I think that looks like all the discussion. So we'll do a roll call vote. Kate Reed.
Aye.
Is the aye? Yeah. Joshua Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Nay.
Stephen Yet.
Yay.
Emily Secord.
Yay.
And I, Carl Yeh, also vote, or I vote nay. So that's 2-5. And so motion passes. AJ, did you feel like you got enough information from that to be able to move forward?
Yes. I'll
email the text to you. I'm sorry. There's no chat window that I can find, but I will email the text to you.
Thank you.
And Camille.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for that discussion and that decision. So, Emily, we're at the end of the meeting time, but I think I might be able to answer the question, but we can still decide as a group how to address that either at conceivably this meeting or for a future meeting. But if I understood your questions correctly, we actually as a group did make a decision a few weeks back. I know it's hard to remember with all the stay at home, but that we were basically putting all committee work and other such projects on hold for now. Certainly we can go into some more detail. And if you are willing, if you want to just wait till the next meeting to discuss how we might do it. That actually coincides with when we were going to anyway, to talk about how we would potentially bring stuff back. And because no one really knew a month or so ago what things were going to be like now. And I have to tell you, I'm not even sure what things are going to be like a month from now. So when we get there, we'll see. But what do you think, Emily? Go ahead.
Well, I think as long as we're moving towards that, it makes me a little bit more comfortable. I just feel like there's a lot of opportunity that we're missing by not convening some of our committees. So I think as long as we're moving towards that direction, I think, again, I'm just going to re-echo what Don said earlier of let's keep our eye on the bigger picture. We have sort of the current state of events kind of dealt with. Obviously, it's ever changing, so that could change tomorrow. But I just feel like as long as we're moving towards a new normal, I think that's really important for the board to be looking ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Emily. Kate, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I just would be in favor of like maybe sending a poll to SPC members specifically and seeing if they would be willing to engage in a meeting in June. And maybe not the normal meeting time in the first week of June, but because what I know is this last week I got to meet with a number of different business owners on a Zoom meeting, and that was really helpful to me in my industry. And so maybe this is a good time to start having these kind of conversations just with SPC, with some of our most active stakeholders, at least.
Nice. Okay. About that.
So go ahead, AJ.
I'm of course definitely supportive of bringing that committee back. I would ask the board of directors that it would be very helpful for them if they knew what you wanted them to discuss with these projects on hold. I would hate to convene them and we're all looking at each other and don't have direction. They don't know what you want. And that committee has asked us several times that the board of directors really provide some information about what they feel that they can move forward on. So I would say since it's May 20th and they would typically meet on the first week of June, I don't know if there's an opportune time for this board to kind of have that discussion. so that that committee feels that we're being respectful of their time. Because we've got some electeds there that sometimes can't make it, and we know that when they come there, they want to make sure that their time and their input is valuable. So any direction I can get from you guys that could really help them, I really appreciate that.
Maybe it's more of something like we could send a survey out to see if people would be available to meet on Zoom, and we could also ask if there are topics that they're interested in learning about or discussing that have to do with transit, and we can then reconvene with that information and craft something together.
Josh?
I'll just quickly add, sorry, the SBC group, you know, as I've talked to a few people on that committee, have shared that they really want to know what the board would like some help with. So if there's stuff that we feel like we have to take care of because it's higher priority, then anything that's secondary priority could go to SBC for a recommendation to the back to the board. So I think there's a really great way to utilize those strengths and talents.
Josh, go ahead.
I don't think we actually ever suspended activities of the SPC explicitly. I don't remember doing that. So I don't think that actually, I know we suspended other things, but I don't think that happened. I think that sort of happened by default. I think we have endless possibilities for things we could ask SPC to wrestle with on our behalf, just given how crazy things are right now. And I think we often look for guidance on, you know, from on high for a lot of these things. And we get some of that, but a lot of this stuff I think has to be wrestled with at the local level. And so I think it'd be great for us to take one of our special meetings, like off the regular full board of directors meeting, and talk about that. I don't know if there's enough time, but it seems like there's enough time for us to do that next week on behalf of an early June meeting. And now I have a whining dog by me, sorry about that. But I think that would be, I would be supportive of that. I think it would be great to have the SPC's help.
I have a proposal as the way to resolve this. So let me summarize where I think we're at right now, which is that we seem to be more or less in agreement that we recognize that most of our committees should be, unless it's urgent, they should not meet until a later time as we decide that. Possibly we can figure that out next month. But we have special interest in SPC meeting earlier. Now, given that I don't want to spend the next 30 minutes trying to figure that out as a board, I kind of see there might be some people who are more interested in doing that, because I also do not want to convene SPC without some clear direction. So I'm going to put this out there, which is that one, we go ahead and do the survey, see who can actually show up. Two, I'd like to have a, and this is really informal, a subcommittee of people. And I'm actually looking at Josh and Kate. And if there's a third volunteer, is there a third person who really wants to do this?
Emily should do it because she's not
Emily? Okay, great. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to. Yeah,
I was going to wait for him to finish a sentence.
Well, it could be someone outside, but so that works too. So how about we do this? So Josh, Emily, and Kate, you guys get together and figure out very specific, like create a document that will serve as their agenda or a guiding, guiding document for them to meet. And then AJ, could you ask your staff to see survey to see if we can get them convened? Because yes, you're right, they're elected official and other people. June's actually kind of a big ask because that's just around the corner right now. So does the board feel comfortable with that? And I'll accept head nods, thumbs up. Okay, great.
And I'll go ahead and ask Camille if she can make a doodle poll for the three of us just in the next couple weeks, send out some times and dates for us to have a little Zoom call.
I love it. That sounds great.
That'd be great.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask that actually and see how soon you guys wanted to meet, if you wanted me to do it for next week or what your time frame is.
Yeah. Thanks, Camille.
Sooner's probably better.
Sooner's better.
Great. Got it. Thank you.
Well, and so with that,
and also I would just, sorry, Carl, just really fast. Yeah. I would just say that the whole conversation that we had that started and ended with micromobility actually, I think, covered a bunch of themes in between. And so Stephen and Don, you're not on the subcommittee, and Carl, you're not on the subcommittee, but you guys all weighed in on different pieces of this. I think that'll actually be a helpful starting point for us. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for this meeting. That concludes our meeting this time. Thank you for the public for being here. Thank you to all the board members and staff for being here as well. I hope everyone does stay safe and healthy, and this meeting is now adjourned. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Hi, everybody.